I'd like to thank you very much for your prayers. As David was saying, that I can't see very well. I can see your shapes, but I really appreciate. The hardest thing for me has been not being able to read the word. So you'll forgive me if I quote anything not quite correctly, but I love the word of God, as I'm sure you do. We are tomorrow, I guess many, many people all over the world will be celebrating tomorrow as the Feast of Pentecost. And what I'd like to just do to begin with is give you just a little background. Now, I'm sure you're knowledgeable of these things, but I think it's important for us to just know where we are when we celebrate something and what it's all about. You remember when the Lord Jesus was crucified, when he died, he was the Lamb of God. What was Israel, all of Judea, celebrating as the Lord Jesus was dying? A festival, isn't that right? They were celebrating a great festival. The Last Supper was all about that. I'm not going to spend any time on it, but what the Lord Jesus was doing and what is called the Last Supper was being celebrated all over Judea, except the Lord made one big change, and he said when he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, that's a whole other subject. But why I'm laying that foundation for us as we go on is to realize that every festival of Israel, the three major ones, but all of them, but the three major festivals of Israel, they still celebrate today, all of them were a pre-picture of the Lord Jesus and of us. Now, they were reality in for Israel. They were celebrating what God had done for them, and it's true. But they didn't realize, and maybe many of us haven't realized, they were also pre-pictures of what the Lord was going to do for us. You know how the Lord Jesus taught in parables? Well, the Old Testament is full of parables. Not just made up stories, but the history and the Lord's involvement with the people of Israel was all, it was history, it was reality, they were his people, they are his people, chosen for a purpose. But also it was all of those things in the Old Testament were pre-picturing the coming of the Lord and our lives and what it would mean. And so what I want us to look at, what we're talking about tomorrow, was a festival of Israel. When Jesus died on the cross, they were celebrating the festival of Passover. Never mind, I don't know what that was, but never mind. not needed. So we also, you know, we celebrate Passover. And what Pentecost is all about is a festival of Israel that was called the Feast or the Festival of Weeks. Now, I want to cover as much as I can. David, you'll have to indicate to me when I've got maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, all right? I'm not very good at telling the time when I'm ministering. I do tend to get excited about it and I can keep on going. But you must warn me, all right? So what I want us to see is what they were celebrating that we now celebrate as the Feast of Pentecost. Let me give you just a quick background that you'll know very well already. But you know, we teach our students always read everything and study everything in context. So when we're talking about the Festival of Pentecost, what was the context in which that was happening? We are celebrating tomorrow, or remembering tomorrow, a festival of Israel that they celebrated back in Jesus' day, prior to that. So what were they celebrating? And it's called the Festival of Weeks. So what happened was, when Passover, the Feast of Passover, when the Israelites celebrated the Feast of Passover, the Lord instructed them to count 49 days, which is how many weeks? 7 weeks. Count 49 days or 7 weeks, and then the next day you celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Let me just ask you this question. How many of you know what Pentecost means? It's a Greek word. Anybody know what Pentecost means? 50. So 49 days, the next day, Pentecost, the 50th day. And so it was called the Feast of Weeks. But there was something very special that they were celebrating them. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt, were wandering through, not wandering, they had wandered, but traveled through for 50 days, 49 days, and on the 50th day, Moses was up on the mountain. What happened to Moses when he was up on the mountain? Say it aloud. The Ten Commandments. God gave them a covenant. Moses got the Ten Commandments, you remember? That was the symbol of the covenant that God was making with Israel. It became known. He stayed another, I've forgotten how long, 40 days or something up on the mountain. And it became known, the covenant of Israel, the covenant of law. Anybody familiar with that? Everybody, isn't that right? The covenant of law. Moses got it up on the mountain, came back with the Ten Commandments. He got the rest of the law later, I imagine, while he was up there. It's my thinking anyway. But those Ten Commandments represented the covenant that God had made with Israel. I want to get, please keep praying with me, because I want to get on to what it's all meaning. Do you know that the Lord, well, let me just put it this way. In Luke, you can put it up if you want, it doesn't matter, I'll read it out, all right? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city, in Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, what I want us to notice is this. Something that I hadn't... believe me, I, after all these years of studying the Word, I hadn't really noticed it before. I'd read it many times. But let me just share with you that little bit again at the beginning. Jesus said to the disciples, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed that before, but that struck me just very short time ago. And I said, Lord, where in the Old Testament do you promise what happens on the day of Pentecost? Do you get curious about the Word? Oh, I encourage you. I never go beyond anything. If I find something I'm questioning, I begin researching. What are you meaning, Lord? And I want to share with you what the Lord showed me in that.
Tell us, how do you cooperate?
What was, hurry up, okay, sorry about that. Okay, I can't go too fast. I'm going to send you, said Jesus, what my Father has promised, but wait in Jerusalem and you will be clothed with power from on high. And I went into the Word of God and I said, Lord, I don't know what the Father promised about the day of Pentecost. I had no indication, no concept in my thinking of any promise from the Word, from the Old Testament, about what happened on the day of Pentecost. So I began researching, and I want to share with you two scriptures. If I can find them here, I wrote them out in very big writing. All right, here is a promise from God. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31 to 33, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. A new covenant with the people of Israel and with Judah, and the people of Judah. I will not... Oh, look at that. That's it. I can only just see that. All right, where does it say? It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors. Moses' covenant. Do you hear it?
Yes.
The covenant of law. Do you know what, to summarize what the covenant of law was? Do this and I will bless you. If you don't do it, curse. But do this, do this, do this, and then I will bless you. The whole onus was on us or the people. And God responding to us in what we do or to them in what we do, and then he will bless. But he gave a promise. And he says, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors. When I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because I broke my covenant, I think it's they, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Yes, it should be they, declares the Lord. Oh, was it? I'm sorry about that. Okay. So there's the promise. There's what the Lord has said. He said, in the days to come, I will make a new covenant. Do you know what we are celebrating when we celebrate Pentecost? We're celebrating a new covenant. A new covenant. Oh, I want to, amen, it's wonderful. Let me just get this. Sorry, I had to write in full big writing and I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, so that's the word of the Lord there. Let me just have a wee look here. There's another word here I want to share with you. Not that one. Okay. All right, so the promise of the Father of a new covenant. Let me just say this. I was going to share much more with you following that. I don't want to spend the time on it now. But I want to encourage you, read Galatians chapter 3. When you go, not now, when you go home, go through Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes to these Galatians. Let me give you a background to them. Everywhere Paul went preaching the gospel, he was followed by what was called the Judaizers. They were people, Jews, who had become believers in the Lord Jesus, but their understanding was that you receive the Lord, you become a Christian, but you still keep the law of Moses. And so they followed Paul, and as he would preach the gospel and then go somewhere else, they would go in and say, yes, that's wonderful news. You've received Jesus. He's the Messiah. But now you must obey the law of Moses. And Paul wrote to the Galatian church because they'd fallen for it. They were struggling to keep the commandments of the law, even though they were believers. And Paul wrote to them, and do you know what he said to them? I love Philip's translation. Philip's translation of Galatians chapter 1 and in chapter 3. He says, "Beloved," this is Philip's, "beloved idiots of Galatia." Paul, NIV, "you foolish Galatians." But don't you like "beloved idiots"? You have to have the "beloved" in front of it, you know. But that's Paul's letter to the Galatian church. "Beloved idiots, who has bewitched you? Didn't I paint clearly? Jesus crucified was portrayed clearly to you. How can you turn from that? You received the Spirit. How can you turn from that and go back to your own effort to try and fulfill the goal?" Oh boy, so many of us in the body of Christ have done what those Galatian Christians did. We add so many. Here's the new covenant. Here's the Lord's, what the Lord has done. And so many of us, I was living in this for 5 years after I became a Christian. We add the old covenant to the new. So the teaching becomes, you've received Jesus as your Savior. God did it all. By His grace you are saved. Now that you are a believer in Christ, this is what you must do. Have you ever heard that? You must read your Bible. You must pray. You must witness. You must give. There's five. Forgot what the other one is, but you get the idea. I got that for 5 years and believed it. So now I've got to read my Bible. And oh boy, was it hard work. Tell you something, without the Holy Spirit who wrote it, it's hard to understand. It's a struggle. And any time anything is law, it's a struggle. You must do. Now, I say that now from someone who absolutely adores this word. I love the word of God. It's a living word. But there's a difference to what it was. And the difference is the Holy Spirit. Do you know that when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples, do you remember this? What was the strange thing that he did to those disciples? He appears to the disciples and he does the most peculiar thing. Anybody know? Pardon? He did that. That was before then. You know what he did? That's a good thing to do, by the way. He breathed on them. Here are the disciples there, and Jesus on them. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you believe they received the Holy Spirit then? Yes, they did. Otherwise, why would Jesus say it? Receive the Holy Spirit. That moment, they were born again. That moment was the beginning of the new creation in Christ. They'd been following him up to then. They'd been following him. They loved him. But they quarreled. Well, things still happen we shouldn't do. But you know, understand what I mean? They became a whole new creation when Jesus breathed on them. But the Pentecost hadn't yet happened. And Pentecost, you see, when they breathed on, Jesus breathed on them, two things happened. Number one, the Holy Spirit came to indwell them, made them a whole new creation. Secondly, the Holy Spirit dwelling within them began a, his ministry began a work in them that the Bible calls, the New Testament calls, the fellowship of the Spirit. That's in, I think, 1 Corinthians 13 in the last verse, I think it is. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I coined a phrase with that. Forgive me for it, but it's good. What is fellowship? Two fellows in the same ship. And the ship of life, the journey of life that we are on, the Holy Spirit is with us and in us through all the trials, through all the difficulties. In that ship of life, on that journey, sometimes the sun is shining and the sea is beautiful and calm. Other times storms hit. But the Holy Spirit is in the journey of life with us. So he indwells us. Amen. He indwells us. He fellowships with us. So Jesus breathed into them the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. Pentecost had not yet happened. Pentecost was a whole different thing. Not their born again experience. They already got it. What was the purpose? The Feast of Weeks. Two things happened on the day of Pentecost. And you'll forgive me, I'm just going to speak it rather than read scriptures and things. Two things happened on the day of Pentecost. When you think of the day of Pentecost, you all know it. What was the main thing you think of? What do you see? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Fire of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So they were empowered. Fire came upon them. But what I want us to see, something, I'm sharing with you something very up to date. Something that I hadn't realized before. Pentecost, celebration of Pentecost, was celebrating the giving of the law, the giving on Moses, giving the law, the covenant. And for us as believers, let me put it this way. When the day of Pentecost came for the believers back then, same thing was happening as happened with Passover. All over Judea, people were celebrating the giving of the covenant. People had come from all, Jews and foreigners, if you like, who'd taken on Judaism, had come from all over the world like they had for Passover. They came for the Festival of Weeks. And when God poured out his Holy Spirit on those disciples, two things happened. God fulfilled his promise, like Jesus said. The promise of the Father will be fulfilled. So the new covenant was signed, sealed, and delivered on the day of Pentecost. Fresh revelation. I just saw that in the Word the other day. So it was not only an empowering of the disciples, it was that. But it was a sealing of the new covenant. Yes, we do not belong to the old covenant. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, please, if you've already got it, share it with as many as you can. So many of us in the body of Christ, like I was in those early 5 years, are struggling, trying to be good Christians. I read my Bible now not because you must read the Bible. I want to. My precious husband, Paul, he had a saying whenever we ministered on this, not this particular thing, but he would often say this. We belong to a wonder gospel. Not a gotta gospel. Not I got to, but I want to. Why do I read my Bible now? Oh, I love it. I want to. Boy, before those early 5 years, it was a struggle. I've got to read the Bible. And I have got very little out of it. Same thing with prayer. You must pray. Oh, boy, you can struggle. How many of you would fall asleep doing that? You understand what I'm saying? All the things that you're taught how to be a good Christian, it's not you've got to, it's you want to. And we belong to the new covenant, not the old. The old is you've got to do in order to get. But God made a new covenant. And you read later, you read Galatians chapter 3. Read about the beloved idiots. And Paul deals with it in his writing. He really does. And he said, how could you, these are my words. Foolish is in the word, but he's basically saying, how can you be so stupid to go back to the law again? He said, you cannot gain the goal by self-effort. What is the goal? Now, Paul's dealing with this. He says, there's a goal ahead. What is the goal? You have become Christians. God has a goal for your life. What is it? I don't mean this individual calling, but for all of us, there's one great goal. Anybody got an idea?
Run the race.
But there is an end of the race.
The goal.
The goal. All right, here are some familiar scriptures for you. Romans 8:28, you know that one? God works in all things for the good of those who love him. You familiar with that? That's only a bit of the verse. Often we memorize one bit. God works in all things, good or bad, for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And verse 29 tells us what the purpose is. Always read everything in context. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the goal. Ephesians chapter 4 describes it that we are growing to the full measure of the stature of Christ. You read it. Ephesians 4, it talks about the body of Christ. We are given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They are the foundation ministries so that the building can be built on them. They're not the roof to be idolized. They're the foundation. My husband used to say, they don't have capital letters. They're not apostles with a capital A. All five of them are descriptions of ministry, not titles. Oh boy, I get into trouble for that. But it's the truth. They are the foundation so that their ministry is to release the body of Christ, every individual, into their ministry. You read Ephesians 4. And when we all are functioning in the calling that God has on us, in our gifting in the body of Christ, the Lord, it says, we will grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. We need one. Am I my time up?
Two, three minutes. Okay.
Number one. All right. What is the day of Pentecost all about? It's all about the new covenant. Don't mix up the covenants. The old covenant, people say, are you saying that we don't have to obey, you know, the Ten Commandments or anymore? You know what it is? You read the scripture. Read chapter 7. That's the description of life under the law. Paul was describing what he lived through. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says that. No chapter divisions in the original. Straight on to chapter 8, which is the normal Christian life. Therefore, there is no condemnation finding guilty judgment on those who are in Christ Jesus. For the life of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, how we as believers need to know the gospel. You know, the gospel is the good news. And, you know, those who criticize and say, you're saying that we don't have to, obey the Ten Commandments and all that. No, what the scripture says is that the righteousness of God, which includes all those, is now written on the fleshly tablets of the heart. That's what you received when God breathed into you the breath of life, the Spirit of God. When you got born again, in you is the Holy Spirit, who is the expression of the righteousness of God. And we're called to walk in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, the Apostle Paul says, let us walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, amen. All right, finishing. Just one thing. Just one. All right, so what happened on the day of Pentecost? What are we celebrating tomorrow? A new covenant. Oh, praise the Lord. Second thing that we're celebrating is being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is a definite experience. Born again? Yes, already. Fellowshipping with us, the Holy Spirit? Yes, already. But there is an experience of being totally immersed, baptized, if you like, in the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's not for us, but empowers us to witness to others. That happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what we celebrate. And oh boy, do we need a revelation as a body of Christ of the new covenant that we belong to and of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Amen.